Bears Talk is powered by Xfinity.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the debut edition in 2016 of Bears Talk here at PNC Studio at Halas Hall. I'm Jeff Joniak with my broadcast partner from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, Mr. Tom Thayer, and the senior writer of ChicagoBears.com, Larry Mayer, kind enough to join us as well. We're going to go through five topics and rip through them one at a time. We'll start with the roster cuts and how the final 53 has come together. What was your quick impression, Larry?
The one surprise to me was Mark Mariani getting cut at wide receiver, but I think that that's the deepest position on the roster. So there were some tough decisions there. I think Josh Bellamy made it probably because of his prowess on special teams.
Now, bigger than Robbie Gould is a surprise, huh?
Well, I'm thinking about the final 53 right now at this point, looking back at that. Obviously, Robbie Gould was a big surprise as well, but Mark Mariani was the first guy on Saturday that stood out to me.
Tom?
You know, we often hear from Doug Coletti, our statistician in the booth, that the punt is the biggest play in any NFL game. And when you talk about the safety and security of punt returning, you know that you had that with Mark Mariani. So who is going to be that next candidate to take over that job? But then you kind of look around, and I think Ryan Pace said it well in his press conference. It's not making sure that you have a certain amount of players at each position. It's having the best players on your roster. Exactly. And if that's the decision that the coaches and the staff went through, then I think they made a nice choice of the way they put this team together, because there's some competitiveness within a lot of positions, whether if you want to go to defensive backs, to the linebacker position, upgrade the offensive line, and so on and so forth. And even being young at running back, it's still a really competitive position.
I'm really excited to watch what happens in the secondary, because those young guys, they all can play. They all have an edge to them. It's not too big for any of those guys, those young guys. And the same can be said for the new guy they brought in from the New England Patriots camp, Kevion Butler. He's also a very strong-willed individual and plays a physical game. I think they're going to push guys for playing time, this secondary group.
I know the Bears love the fact that he's got great ball skills, and that's why they brought him in. But I want to kind of retreat to what you just said. How do we know that they can play? I mean, how do we know?
Flashed.
Because, well, maybe so, but there's still a lot of young guys who need experience. I mean, we're talking about three rookie draft picks back there.
Exactly.
So I think it's great that it seems like the Bears are getting healthy in the right time right now. Tracy Porter seems like he'll play. Kyle Fuller. It's important to have those veterans on the field. I am impressed with those rookies and what they did in training camp, but I don't think anybody really knows.
I just don't see them backing down. I see that. I saw it, the competitive fire burning at training camp, their emotion when they got on the field or made a play. I mean, these guys, from what I've understood from coaches and what I'm hearing, is that these guys, they may make a mistake, but they don't make it twice. So that's a good step in the right direction.
That's a really important part, because physically I think they're up to what there is required of them in their job requirements. Mentally, you cannot make mistakes. And I think that's a key ingredient here. All the coaches, they quiz these guys regularly. They sit within the meetings every day. They go over the practice film. And if you see a guy that repeatedly makes mental mistakes, obviously he's going to be on the street. So all those guys have shown the ability to mentally ingest their assignments and what's given them, and that which it allows them to go out there and compete physically.
One guy who doesn't make mental mistakes is Josh Sitton. The guy is an outstanding guard. The Green Bay Packers let him go. The Bears quickly moved and signed him. Tom, your reaction when you get a guy of this caliber with these kind of pelts on the wall, three times a Pro Bowler. He's given up only 7.5 career sacks. He shut down the left side of the offensive line from the interior side for Aaron Rodgers. Will he do the same for the Bears?
He's played right guard, left guard, and have a start at tackle in case you ever need him in an emergency situation. He's really familiar with all the talent within the division, so he doesn't have that learning curve to go through. But it's about the assignments. We just talked about how mentally is important to make sure every position is ready to go out and play. It's most important for offensive linemen because their assignments can change in an instant. So right now, Josh has got to be able to invest a lot of personal time leading up to this first week before the Texans game and make sure you're familiar with the calls. You have an understanding of your assignments. You think, how does it transcend from the language that I learned at my last stop to how it's going to transfer over to this stop?
One of the things the Bears really like about Josh is his intelligence as a player. So I have a feeling he's going to make a really good transition there. And I think, Jeff, it was a huge move to get a guy like that to come in, an elite player. This is not a guy that's 34, 35. He's only 30 years old. This is a guy that came off a great Pro Bowl season last year. I think he steps in and makes the offensive line markedly better this year.
And he's supposed to be a leader. He was in Green Bay. He's not afraid to speak his mind. He's opinionated. He's well-spoken. He's going to be a guy that the media will enjoy speaking to as well. I think it's just another voice in that locker room, too. You know, there's an awful conversation about the leadership void on a team that is making a transformation from that superstar era of the Brian Urlachers and Lance Briggs and Charles Tillmans. Who are those guys? Well, you're seeing him. He might be one of them. It'll take a while, and it has to be organic, but it's going to be sitting as well.
Uniquely enough, this offensive line has some developing leaders on it with Kyle Long and Charles Leno Jr. and Bobby Massey. So when you put Josh Sitton in there next to Charles Leno Jr., you can upgrade his learning curve too, because you have so much experience on the interior offensive line that does have to spill outward towards your offensive tackles.
It's all about guards for me, Jeff. I mean, you got three of the greatest guards in the building. You got Josh Sitton, you got Kyle Long, and you got Tom Thayer.
You might need him before you get off this set today to have a guard to protect you. All right. This is always the big question at this time of the year. I don't know how many times I've been asked about what the record might be. I never give that answer because it's a fruitless battle. But expectations, that's a whole different topic of conversation. And I think you should go in with high expectations now that you know what you have and you know who's healthy. It looks like it's going to be a much healthier team than we thought. What are your expectations for the 2016 Bears?
I want to see growth, especially in the young guys. I believe there's 14 draft picks in Ryan Pace's 2 years that are on the team here. They need to improve, especially the guys from last year to this year. A lot of people talk about the greatest improvements first year to second year. Yeah. I want to see that, especially at safety. We have two guys.
Well, that's Jones. My group.
Okay, that's your group.
Well, that's my group, the second year guys.
Right.
The Eddie Goldens, the Adrian Amoses, the two safeties, Harold Jones-Corte and Jeremy Lankford. If those guys make a big, because they've got a lot of playing time. So they should make that jump maybe quicker than a rookie who didn't get a lot of time.
Why is it the case as a former player? Why is there such a big jump there?
Because you're familiar with the terminology that you've been learning now for over a year. You have another training camp underneath your belt. You have an understanding of how to invest your personal time in making sure you're watching plenty of tape. And then you kind of feel like you belong at this NFL level. And now you're not coming from the University of Finley. You're coming from a year in the NFL to another year in the NFL. And that does a lot to give players confidence. But my expectations, I'll throw a number on it, because we break it down into the four quarters of the season, right? So the first four games, you're talking about facing a new quarterback in Brock Osweiler, two rookie quarterbacks in Philly and in Dallas, and then fourth game against Detroit with losing their biggest offensive weapon. So my expectations is 3-1, 4-0, something like that. So if you can kickstart this football team, where you're talking a lot about a second-year players that are really important in their roles and the way they're going to fit into this organization, if you have a fast start, boy, that can lead to a lot down the road, no matter how your schedule filters out after that. But I have big expectations in this first four games.
I would really like to know what the moderator's expectations
are. Well, I have high expectations every year. But to his point, if you do get off to a great start with this particular coaching staff and how they can poke the bear a little bit in that room, I think this team is going to rally quicker than a team that maybe didn't have that kind of influence in those offices, in those position group rooms. I'm talking about the Foxes, the Fangios, the Jeff Rogers, the offense in general. I'm very intrigued by what they could do if they do get off to a quick start. So, again, I just want the other team to worry about playing the Bears every week. And I saw last year a defense that was, talent-wise, undermanned, play up and beyond their potential at stages of that season.
Are there enough impact players or potential impact players for teams to worry about playing the Bears, do you think?
And I don't think John Fox cares too much about that. He keeps talking about you're nobody until you're somebody, and I think he thrives on that. And I think that's how guys get on Sundays on the practice field, working on the practice field. They get there on Sundays with that mentality, I'm just as good as you.
Right, but I do think there are a handful of impact players. I think if you look at Alshon Jeffrey combined with Kevin White, if you look at the combination of Jeremy Lankford and Jordan Howard and Kadeem Carey, I think if you look at Akeem Hicks and what Jonathan Bullard could contribute to the front and Eddie Goldman, and then the way the intelligence and the experience that you picked up at the inside linebacker position, how that's going to spill out to the outside linebacker position. I do think you have impact players in this football team. And if you can capture the enthusiasm of a guy like Harold Jones-Corte in the defensive backfield, and he has those big safety hits, and he's responsible for his coverages downfield, again, you can develop some more inspiration on this football team that can develop into leaders.
I think it's going to be a hard team to scout on the coaches show on Monday night. John Fox said, you know, you might be right, because a lot of people don't know a lot about these guys right now. There's 40 new players in this team in the last 2 years, which leads us to the Houston Texans in the season opener. And Brock Osweiler is running the show now at quarterback. They signed him sight unseen, basically, gave him $72 million and say, son, this is your football team right now. What do you think?
I think it's a lot of responsibility thrust upon a guy. I think he started 7 games last year for Denver. But he showed he's got the athleticism, the commitment to the position. He's been a good teammate. Didn't go to the White House for the ceremony with the Denver Broncos because he wanted to stay in focus with his teammates. So everything he wanted to go out there and get in a free agent, they got it out of Brock Osweiler. But now he's gone through the preseason without an offensive line that's been all together and healthy. He's got a big-time receiver. But there is a lot of responsibility once you start facing a Vic Fangio defense week one. And you have a lot of weapons that can come and attack you from different areas. So, yeah, the expectations for Brock Osweiler are high, but there's a lot of high expectations for the Bears defense.
What would have happened if you made 7 starts and they came to you with a $72 million contract? What would that be?
Back in my era, it wouldn't have happened, but it would have been hard to turn down. It's more of why didn't John Elway want to sign their quarterback in Brock Osweiler? So Gary Kubiak, who's an ex-quarterback head coach of the Denver Broncos, and John Elway, an ex-quarterback for the Denver Broncos, they recognized something in a reason why they didn't want to sign this quarterback. So that says more to me than why did Bill O'Brien and his staff want to sign him as a Texan.
New England-style offense with Bill O'Brien, so that means quick 3 steps, get rid of the football, define reads. So you're going to have to really play coverage very well. You may not be able to generate the kind of pass rush you want on a 3-step drop with a guy who gets rid of the football quickly.
How much do you think someone like Brian Hoyer helped the Bears prepare? Brian Hoyer was a quarterback last year in the Texans.
Oh, I think he can help a lot. If he does spend time with the defensive coaches, and, you know, the offense is going to have to change everything because Brian Hoyer is here. But I think it's about what you do to Brock Osweiler, not what Brian Hoyer could, you know, help you that way.
All right, they have a very good secondary. This was a 3rd-ranked defense last year. Yeah. And, of course, J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt doing what many might think is the unthinkable. July 21st, back surgery to repair herniated disc. He's expected to play on Sunday against the Bears. Tom, you've lived it.
I've had that surgery. To me, if I wouldn't be ready to play. I wouldn't be able to go out there and compete. My body wouldn't have the strength that I need to go out there and compete at an NFL level. But say he does play, I would attack him relentlessly. I would abuse him in every way possibly legally done in the NFL. That means whamming him with a tight end. That means trapping him with an offensive guard. That means sliding my pass protection so he has awkward angles to defend himself. There's no way that I would let J.J. Watt come out there and have his profile unexposed. I would expose him for everything I could.
Do you have any idea how lucky you are to be able to share a booth with that guy?
I am, but he's exactly right, though. That's the exact point. That's the first thought that came to my mind when I started thinking about this. I didn't know if I bought it, that he was going to play, but that's what you do. You bring fatigue into, you make thinking a part of this. And, you know, looking back at what happened in the Kansas City-Houston playoff game last year, you know, most teams double and triple team this guy. They didn't do that. They just let him run around and have him think for a minute what they were going to do, which slowed him down a little bit. But you still have to really be quick offensively with this guy. You can't be taking your time because that guy, back surgery or no, he's quick.
Right. You know, and that's the thing about it is offensive formations, looking at the way they protected themselves last year against J.J. Watt, they always had extra blockers at or near the line of scrimmage. They didn't go there and expose their protection only to the offensive line. So I think that's one of the clues that you'll be able to take from this year. But I need to see J.J. Watt line up on the line of scrimmage. I'm not so sure this is a smokescreen.
I have no idea what's going on in Houston. I haven't seen one of their practices. But it's hard for me to believe he's going to play a lot every down, especially in this game. So to me, the key is run the ball, get an early lead. That's what Kansas City.
And then run it again.
Right. That's what Kansas City basically did in blowing them out in the playoffs. But that obviously makes a pass rusher a lot less effective, and you really don't even know if you're throwing the ball when you have a lead and you can run the ball.
All right. In our remaining moments, let's pick a matchup of intrigue. We'll start with Tom.
You know, I think DeAndre Hopkins, the clever wide receiver that's working with a new quarterback who doesn't always catch the ball 40 yards downfield, it's what he does with it after a 10, 12-yard catch. So that is going to be my biggest matchup to watch is the bigger receiver against the defensive backfield.
Outstanding. Premier at 50-50 balls, not unlike Alshon Jeffery. Larry?
I was going to say, mine has to be J.J. Watt. And just how the Bears attack him, like you mentioned before. Also, the running back is very important in picking up blitzes. Let's see if they can step up and stop him from getting to the quarterback. To me, that's the key. You can't let him make any of those difference-making plays.
Mine is team speed of the Houston Texans. They've elevated it at the receiver position. They have young receivers around DeAndre Hopkins, who's not the fastest guy in the world, but Will Fuller from Notre Dame, the rookie, is, and Braxton Miller's in there, and so they've thrown some very successful deep balls in a 4-0 preseason. The running back, Lamar Miller, also shifty with good hip swivel out of the backfield. All right, that's going to wrap up our debut edition of Bears Talk here in 2016. So looking forward to the regular season opener in Houston against the Texans. For Tom Thayer and Larry Mayer, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for watching.